One of the great things about the Christmas season is we get to look at this first letter of John, and it's one of the great letters of the New Testament, and because of John's insistence on our faith being real, tangible, if you will, touchable. And I often find when I use this word, people don't know what I'm saying, but incarnational. I mean, that the word has to become flesh in us. We can't just have our faith be about theories and ideas and abstractions, but it has to be about real flesh and blood stuff. And John constantly insists on that in this first letter. And it's kind of a reality check letter. And over again in the letter, John's saying, you know, look, you say you love the Lord, but are you keeping the commandments? Because that's the sign that you really love him, that you really know him, that you've really met him, and that you're actually in a transformative relationship with him. You're actually doing what he commands, and not in some perfunctory way, but with a wholehearted sense of, you know, just because you do it because you love God, and whatever God wants, you want, and what God doesn't want, you don't want. I mean, that's what it really means to be someone who's met the Lord, and you're beginning to really see your life be changed. And it's not about abstractions and theories. It's about real flesh and blood choices that you're making, about where you actually walk with your body, where you what actually comes out of your mouth, and so on. Your mind, your heart, your will, your body, your whole behavior begins to change. So that's the great insistence on this letter. It's the great gift to the Christian in becoming flesh, or becoming one of us. God enabled us to become more like him. You see, St. Augustine, I think, boldly put it, God became man so man could become God. You know, only saints can talk like that. We won't all become mini-gods running around with our own universe, I promise you, but you see the idea, right? So this great gift that the Lord gives us to completely change us. Now, the word that comes up a lot in this passage today is remain, remain, remain. And it's very, very, it comes up just dozens of times in this letter. And the idea of remaining is more than, I prefer the translation abide for this Greek word, maneo, and it has, at least to my mind, abide has more of an ongoing sense. You know, you can remain somewhere for a half hour and be gone, you know, but to abide means to habitually live or be in this particular place or state. So although the word remain here is used, which is, you know, adequate, but it's not, I don't think it's as rich as abide. You get the point. Now it says here, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you, remain in you. Don't just read it and walk away and forget it. Well, that was an interesting sermon today in Mass. You know, and again, we 20 minutes later, we can't remember, you know, what it was. So again, we have to richly draw into the Word of God, and we know our human condition. I mean, we have to hear something more than once, don't we? I mean, we have to be instructed. You know the old saying, "Repetitio mater studiorum." Repetition is the mother of studies. So it's our nature to need to have these things repeated. And our Mother Church has been very good to do this for us, you know. These cycles of readings constantly come back in cycles, three cycles for Sunday, two for weekdays, and in certain times of the year, every year, we get to hear the same readings. And over again, if we're faithful, this Word of God and what we've heard from the beginning begins to abide in us, really begins to set up deep roots, and we begin to think more biblically. We begin to think more with the mind of God, to love more with the heart of God. It's a great, great gift to the human person. And it says, again, that this is what, if what you heard from the beginning does abide in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. So again, remember, the goal of studying our faith and having faith and knowing the Scripture and knowing the Catechism isn't just intellectual, okay, I can pass a religion test. It's about relationship, right? It's about knowing the Lord. It's about having his mind, having his heart, just being caught up into the very mind, the very heart of God, and having our complete being transformed by this. As Pope Benedict has just written in a recent encyclical, that the Word of God does not simply inform, it performs. And I always like to say, and it transforms. All right, the Word of God does what it says, and what it says it will do is that it will completely change us and draw us into a life-changing and transformative relationship with the Lord. So we've got to move beyond just information unto transformation is the goal here. So if this truth that God has given us really does abide in us, it simply says here, it goes on to say, if it remains in you, you'll remain in the Son and in the Father. You'll abide in them, you see. You'll have a deepening relationship with the Father. Now, I'm a witness, you know. I've been serious about my spiritual life for about 25 years now, and I can tell you, the Lord brought me a mighty long way, and I don't just know about Him. There was a time in my life where I suppose I could pass a religion test, but I know the Lord. My relationship with God is deepening, and I'm experiencing greater love for God, greater love for what God loves, namely His truth and His law, and greater love for whom God loves, namely all of His people. I have a long way to go, but I promise you, it's happening in my life. And it says here, you'll remain in the Son and the Father, and this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. Here too, we have to rescue this word a bit. Eternal doesn't mean forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know if And again, Pope Benedict points this out in his encyclical Spes Salvi, that unfortunately, because many people have this idea of eternal life, the idea of heaven kind of bores them or even frightens them. Because the idea of going on and on and on and on forever and ever without any notion that my life is going to be radically different or only just a theoretical idea of what that means, frankly, doesn't appeal to most people. They'd rather go out and buy a Wii and do some new video game than think about heaven. And you end up with this rather problematic thing. But what is eternal life? You see, how would you and I define it? And I will simply say to you that the best way I think to define eternal life is to define it as the fullness of life. To be fully alive with God forever. Not just to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in my present half-dead state, you know. And let's be honest, I mean, in this world, most of us, you know, man, we got to sleep one third of our day. I mean, we're worn out, we're tired, you know, we're stressed out. And in this American culture, we're really stressed out. And we feel like, you know, man, I have to go on living like this forever. And I think most people have an idea that heaven will be a nicer place, but not really how. Now, I think we've all had little experiences of what it means to be fully alive. You know, days when, I don't know, we just had joy, we had confidence, we were alive, we were able to function quickly and get things done. We had a zeal, an excitement, a joy about what we were doing. And then the next day, bam, boom, crash and burn. You overdid it, you know. But you get the idea. A little tiny glimpse of what it means to become fully alive, you see. And so what John is teaching us here is that, look, what the Lord wants to do for you is to begin to bring you more alive. He wants through His Word and this holy faith He's given you to draw you into a deeper relationship with Him so that more and more you will become fully alive and one day enjoy that full life with Him forever in heaven. But I ask you, brothers and sisters, does eternal life just wait for heaven? And the answer is no. Now, we'll only experience it fully and in a very glorious way there, in a way we never could on this earth. But I hope that those of you who have become serious about your spiritual lives can testify that the more this begins to happen, the more alive you become. And you've heard me say this before. You know, I'm 48 now, but I'm more alive spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, you know, than I ever was at 28. I would never want to be 28 again. I mean, I've learned too much. The Lord's given me too many gifts. The Lord has, I know, my body may be doing what a 48-year-old body does, gaining weight and falling apart otherwise. But, you know, I feel alive spiritually, joyful, happy, serene, confident. I feel very, very good about where the Lord has brought me. And that's a little, a tiny experience of how eternal life is growing in me. And that's the normal Christian experience. Now, I didn't say that the vast majority of Christians have this experience. When I use the word normal here, I'm saying it's the normative. It is the to be expected results of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And again, John is trying to teach us here, look for this in your life. This is something which you ought to experience. If your relationship with God is real, and if you're really working with this relationship and this holy faith he's given you. Now, again, people, unfortunately, do this at different levels. Some people, it's just lip service. Yeah, I believe in God. What's on TV tonight? You know, that's one level, you know. And then there's the kind of, the check off the God box kind of Christian. You know, okay, I'm going to say a few prayers. I'm going to read a scripture occasionally. I'm going to get to church on Sunday and pay a little bit in the offering. And okay, I'm done with God. Now what's on TV tonight? So a little more, but not a whole lot coming from that. You know, kind of a perfunctory observance. And then there are those, though, who begin to really increasingly take God up on his offer, to dive deeply into the riches of faith, into the riches of God's word, and grow in this relationship. And these are the ones who really begin to experience. And it takes time. You know, well, I've been doing it for a week, and I don't think I've noticed any difference. Well, of course, this is going to take a lifetime. But you see the idea. And again, I'm a witness. I'm a witness. It's real. And so, well, I could go on and on about this letter. You can see I'm all kind of, I love this letter. This is one of my favorite points in the whole New Testament, just letter from John, first letter. It's a wonderful letter, and goes on simply to just remind us that our faith is about real things. It's not theories, it's not abstraction, it's about real flesh and blood experience. And look for this, you see. Expect to experience a complete change of your life. Enter into the normal Christian life and know that when you really meet the Lord, and his faith really comes alive in you, the word actually becomes flesh in you. You really begin to experience. These are not just words on a page. This is truth. This is reality. And I know it's true because I'm experiencing it in my own flesh and blood. So the word is becoming flesh even in me. Praise the Lord. Amen.